Hello out there, it's me. This is Jackie, and today we're talking about developmental disabilities and how it affects families. And today we have a few guests here that are going to speak. All right, who's going to go first?
My name is Christopher Walker. If you live out there, by far the front, be strong, don't be afraid. Don't let nobody put you down because you're different. And, you know, when you feel hurt inside, you know, and you cry out, you know, and God always watch over you. God's got your back, no matter what. If you do something wrong, God will still be there for you.
Oh, that's powerful, Chris. Thanks for sharing that.
Thank you.
We love Chris. Chris is one of our own. And we also have a caregiver.
Hey, I'm Trey Wallace. I work with Cooper Home Health. I have some experience with this, but I wanted to sit on this and share my thoughts on it.
And of course, I'm Jackie, and I have family, actually more than one family member, but I have a family, you know, my son, Alan, who has autism and with developmental disabilities. And actually, we have caretakers in our home to help with them. And we recently took Chris in. And he's a great addition to our family. He's one of ours now.
That's right. I'm happy for it.
Yes. He had stayed in a group home previous to this, and he's very happy here. And we treat him as though he calls me his mom, and he loves us. And Chris, what is it like living with a LGBT family? Is it different?
It feels like right now I'm living with you guys. Mm-hmm. It feels wonderful and grateful. I got like to see my family, my two nieces, my sister, and my other sister, Kayla, and my brother, Alan, Cheryl, you.
Yeah.
Have cookouts once in a while.
Yes.
And have fun.
Yes. So you like living here?
Yeah.
It's no different than any other home. It's just we show people love, right?
Yeah, it's about treating people with love and kindness.
Yes, and respect.
The only thing is you share your feelings with your others.
Yep. We wish that more people would, right now in Kansas and Oklahoma, Kansas already passed a bill where LGBT cannot adopt at all. So, and it's sad because we all know that there's a lot of kids who have been taken out of the home for one reason or another. And they're stuck in the foster care system and they can't even adopt the kids out of the foster care system. So I'm hoping that all of those Christians who passed that law will step up to the plate and get these kids out of foster homes, because it's foster homes and group homes. A lot of them are, there are some that are very good. I'm not going to put down all the foster homes and group homes. A lot of them are very good, but you do have some that are not, and to have them kids sit in a home just because you don't want them with a gay family is ridiculous. So I see Chris has his hand up, so let me let him speak for a minute.
When you get stuck in the group home and they're not letting you do stuff or spend night with your family, or they just making pals with you, telling you this and that about you, saying you do, but they go behind you and say you can't go or this and that.
Yes, thanks for sharing, Chris. Yeah, so you know, our home is no different than any other home, except there's just two women as the head of household. But other than that, it's no different than any other home. I mean, we love and care just like everyone else would. And unfortunately, Kansas passed this law, which I'm not quite sure how they did it. And I know that there'll be a fight at the Supreme Court, because if two people can get married, then of course they should be able to adopt. And it's unfortunate that it's hurting the children, not so much the adults. But I did want to say, touch a little bit about autism and the things that you go through. This has been a long road for us. My son spent a lot of time in residential treatment because it was very difficult to have him at home. And back then, you had to give up custody of your child in order to get the services you needed, because the services for residential treatment are over $100,000 a year. Plus, you got to still pay for the psychiatrist, psychologist, the social worker fee. I mean, it was so outlandish that unless you're super rich, your child would not get the services at all unless you did something like that. So, you know, although I still had placed them in PPLA, you know, which was very difficult, permanent planned living arrangements, so he couldn't be adopted because we were still involved. It's a very hard thing to go through. So for all the parents out there who have kids now who are suffering without in-home support, because the waiting lists are very, very long for the Medicaid waivers, you know, we have to get smart as parents and come together and unite and help each other. The one thing that I don't think everyone is missing is that we are tearing the family system down. If you want the families to stay together, I'm talking about wife and husband, wife and wife, man and man, whatever it might be, your family situation, if you expect these couples to stay together, you have to give them support. That respite keeps families together. And unfortunately, the boards of developmental disability have tightened the belt so much that they don't have enough respite beds. They're cutting respite day in and day out. There's just not enough beds. So I would encourage the people they're turning away in Kansas to adopt or any of that to please, please look into developmental disabilities. Let's give these kids a place to go to give the parents the support they need to be able to keep their children in their own home without having to send them to group homes and different things like that. You know, we're going to be having a function and we're going to have a dance, and that we're going to be announcing it soon. We're still putting it together, but we're going to have an adult dance for adults who have autism. Because as you know, we have a lot of autistic children, but a lot of them are transitioning into adults, and there's just not enough places. There's not. And putting them in group homes is not the answer. We need builders to come forward. We need to sit down and talk with you, because I have some amazing plans that I think could really help cut the budget and get people in homes. They're not going to be the big gigantic homes, but they'll be in homes, and they'll be homes and they'll be supervised and smart homes, so that, you know, we'll use less funding. And I wish and I hope and I pray every day that that comes forward. You know, this year has been an eye-opening experience for a lot of parents, especially parents with developmental disability. I think that in autism, we have been alerted on high this year because of, well, I wouldn't say just this year, since the election, because of the fact that, you know, so many people who are disabled or have disabled children or adults, them cutting that Medicaid would be just drastic and horrific. These are things we never thought about. Cutting Medicaid waiver, that's how our children live. So when we pass, most of them go on a Medicaid waiver. And if they were to cut that, where would they go? We already tried the residential treatments. We know the abuse, the horrific abuse that went into those places. I mean, you know, Geraldo Rivera, he shined a light on that. And that's not changing. No one wants to see their child, just because they're gone, placed in a group setting that's abusive. We just don't want that for our children. We want them to be custom, if not the same lifestyle that they had, as close to the same lifestyle as they had before. And there's ways to do that. And there's cheaper ways to do it. And there's smart ways to do it. but we just need help. So anyone out there who has a person who's developmental disability, and maybe they have a relative that's a builder, please reach out to us, because we have some ideas. And if we can get some grants or whatever, I don't even want to touch money. I just want them to be built and done and be happy. Name one street called Allen. That would make my day, make my year, make my heart. Okay. Because my son has always wanted to play football. And right now his dream is coming true. He's on an actual football team. He says it's semi-pro. He's on a Cleveland football team, and he's so excited about it. And, you know, to see my family be so proud, and those are the things that, you know, us as parents who have children who are autistic or developmental disabled, those are the things that make our year. I mean, it's things like that. Just, I don't care if he plays 2 seconds in a game. It gives me hope. It gives me hope and understanding, and that love that you have for those children. And they're not children, he's an adult, but it just gives you hope. And to see, you know, Chris thrive again and want to be out in the community and do things, those are all things that you pray and hope that a lot of people take for granted, that that have those freedoms to do this every day, to regularly just get in a car and leave. You know, those are things that people take for granted that other people can't even do, you know, without help. And, you know, so many of our men are in prison, are DD. I mean, and unfortunately, you know, there goes that we need to change the judicial system. The mental health court system needs to be fixed. It's great that they have them, but they need work, some serious work on them. And there are good parents out there who do want to see change, you know, and we have to figure out a way to keep these guys out of jail and keep them in the community and keep the community safe and keep them safe. And I think the first step is education. Educating not just the police, not just the ambulance, but educating the community, to empower the community to understand. Even if we have to use something as simple as a symbol, let's see, you see a puzzle piece on someone. Or like my son carries a card. Whenever he sees a police, he can give that card to a police. Hopefully the police will look at the card and it says, I am autistic and only one police can talk to me at a time. And it also has things that I might have put on there that are important to him, for him, them to talk to him about. And it also has my phone number. Those are things that parents with autism, they should have that. But how would you know if you can't afford to go to a meeting? You don't need to afford to go to a meeting. Get on this here, Anchor, and we'll get you into a support group. We have support groups that you don't have to leave your home for. And you can see us and we can all talk. And it's a great group. So I hope that I've reached someone today who is in need of just a face, sometimes just a friend, someone just to... Sometimes you're crying, sometimes you're happy. Someone that tells you it gets better. Because when I was going with Alan at 12 months, 13 months, 14 months, I couldn't see how the future was going to be. They told me, walk away and never come back. That's what the counselor said to me. But I couldn't do it. I couldn't walk away from him. I loved him too much. It was a hard enough decision to... just not choose, but basically, yeah, choose who's going to live in a home and who's not. That was the hardest decision in the world. And I beat myself up for it for years and years. But you know what? I made a good decision, because today, Alan is a good guy. He's a good person. He's got a good heart. He may be rough around the edges, but he's my son, who I love very much. And I'm so proud of who he is today. So there is hope out there. If you're thinking there's no hope, there's not. There is hope. Kupel Agency has really hung in there with us. We've hung in there with them. You know, you might not go, you might go through a few agencies before you find the right agencies. We have an independent provider who's been with us for, I don't know, seemed like 10 years, for a long time. You know, you're going to go through different people. You're going to go through heartache and headache. Everything's not going to be perfect with a child with developmental disabilities. But I don't have to preach to the choir because you already know this. But there are ways to comfort you and less stress. And you know, the best gift in the world to me is the Amazon Echo. You can set that to read a story to your son or daughter while you and your spouse have dinner. That gives you a dinner together while they read that book. Get them used to it. And for autistic parents, I know one of the things we used to do was take pictures of the house and which room we were going to, because you know they need warnings for when they're entering a new cycle of whatever they're doing. Do that. Let them know with the Echo. It's time for Echo, and take a picture of it of them sitting reading a book. The book will be read to them. It's a wonderful, wonderful program. You guys, there's just so much technology out here that we need to have to make things work. And I'm going to go back to Trey and let him speak a little bit about home health and what they do to help ease the burden of some of the parents and also help the clients, what they do to help the clients. Trey, what can you tell me about what you guys do to help the families and the clients?
On a professional level, what we do is we try our best to make it as easy as possible for the families to exist with, you know, a child who has whatever ailments or disabilities they may have. But that's on a professional level. On a personal level, what we try to do, we try to connect. That's the most important thing, because with a person with disabilities, they feel isolated a lot of times. They have issues trying to get socially connected to everybody else. So what we try to do a lot of times is we try to integrate them into society's senses of normal, whatever. We try to give them that sense of it's okay to have this, whatever, and you are able to move forward with that. So it's a complicated thing because it varies based on, you know, person to person, but it's always good to get involved with them so that they feel that they can do more. So they don't feel as different. They don't feel as, you know, put out, because at the end of the day, they are human beings and they deserve the love and appreciation that we all want. So, we just want them to feel appreciated. And I think that, you know, we do what we do at professional level. You know, we do the home care, the treatments, whatever we may do. But at the end of the day, it's about them feeling normal, feeling good about themselves on a day-to-day basis. So that is our job. So that's what we do. So we think, you know, you have issues with people who may come in, like, you know, you were talking about, you know, how the system is kind of broken. Yeah, you have individuals who come in and kind of do whatever they do in the system because they're just trying to, make a buck or have whatever. But the bottom line is, the majority of us who work within this system, we have a general care for these people, and we generally want to help them and make them feel better about themselves. So I think the answer to the question pretty much is just to get the person that we are taking care of on their feet and making them feel good about themselves in all senses.
That's very well put. Very well put. I know with me, what I try to do is focus on ability, not the disability.
Exactly.
If I focus on the ability, that's what keeps you going. You know, I tell Chris every day how smart he is, or how the little things. He doesn't give himself enough credit. I gave him $5 to go into a McDonald's and buy something. He didn't think he could do it. Guess what? He did it. He did it all by himself. And like my eyes teared up because I was so proud of him. Sometimes people just don't give people enough credit. Yeah. I know it was just $5 and it probably doesn't seem like a lot to you all, but for him, that was a huge, huge accomplishment. And that alone, besides the fact of me tearing up, like, Chris felt so good to hear. His smile was from ear to ear just to hear that he had did that on his own. You know, and there's, you know, the other side. where we worry as parents of people taking advantage of our children. Because the truth is, it's easy to do. I had mentioned a long time ago, let's build an apartment for community just for them. And they told me that's segregation. So we have to have inclusion. And I said, you know, I understand as a parent, everybody wants inclusiveness. They want everyone to work. And then when I said, well, what about those who can't? What about those who can't work? What about those who can't be inclusiveness? Do we still just dump them in a group home? I mean, why can't we have some communities with that? Oh, the response was horrible. You know, they told me segregation, it's a horrible thing. So then I came up with another idea. I mean, I'm never going to stop thinking, never, never, never until the day that I die, on ways to keep our guys and our girls safe and also let them live life. They deserve to have life. They deserve to have families. They deserve to have everything that everyone else does. You know, and when we see these big, gigantic, super, super rich companies getting all this tax money and tax breaks, why aren't they giving it back into the community instead of going to buy another car that they don't need? I challenge you to buy a home for a disabled person. Build a home, build a brand new one. That's what you need to be out there doing. All the people that got that tax money, build a whole apartment building if you want. Build, there's so many people that need things. It's ridiculous. You know, they need wheelchairs. We need accessibility. You know, they're cutting so much of ADA laws. You're cutting them down for the convenience of builders, which sounds great. And you're tearing down years and years and decades of work for ADA. And these are people who can't get around without the wheelchair. You can't just do that. Like, we matter. They matter. They matter. So I would ask, if you're going to build your big buildings, make sure you have it accessible. Make sure everything that you do or build is accessible. Don't leave out a community, because we spend money too, you know. Don't think of them as just, they don't spend money. They do spend money. They spend money. They work. Lots of them work. And it's not fair and it's not right. And some of you all need to be sponsoring Special Olympics. There's lots of parents out here who would love to be able to do the Special Olympics. Lots of us. But we don't have the kind of money that you all have to give the big booths. I mean, I did it once. We just had homemade stuff. Our booth was still the best to me. We collected 3,500 signatures for no bullying. Yes, 3,500 for one day there for no bullying. And we gave out stickers, and it was the best thing we ever did. And that was in memory of Tanisha, or her being bullied to death, committing suicide over bullying. So, you know, there's lots of things that you can do that we hope and we pray that people will join us in our fight, in our endeavor to get these kids on different movements. You know, Alan went to Vegas for his first time and he loved it. He loved it. They need to see there's so much more out to the world than just their little communities. You know, they need to travel. My son loves sports. Oh my gosh, LeBron James. Oh, he loves LeBron James. I wish I could afford to get him to go to one of the games. You know, he loves it. He loves that. That's his pride and joy. You know, I mean, just the sacrifices the other children had to make because of the time I had to spend with him. You know, my daughter, she's getting married. She'd love to see the Beyonce concert. There's so many sacrifices that the entire family has made for Alan. And I'm okay with that. And I love that. And everybody showed me how much they love him. Oh my gosh, showing up to that game and then, you know, Chipotle's giving all of that stuff. I mean, it's just amazing. It's amazing. I just want to thank everyone who supported Alan. I'm hoping that I can keep fundraising for him to go on the cruise for autism. I'm really working hard. They both would like to go, Chris and Alan, on the autism cruise. It's kind of expensive, though. I think it's like $1,400 per person. So, you know, it's a dream. It's a dream, but we're going to keep selling things. And, you know, I make little necklaces that I sell, and I have these little bags and stuff like that. You know, we sell what we can, and we hope that we get enough. If we can't go this year, maybe we'll go next year. Because, you know, we still do our book bags every year, book bag giveaways. And we usually give them in the LGBT community. It's a safe place to give their book bags where they don't have to be bullied when they go stand in line for the book bag. So we still do that. But it's a lot going on this year. My daughter is getting married. So it's just a lot. It's a lot going on this year. But we're going to try and do our best to make things happen. We got to see the Chris Brown concert. He got to meet Chris Brown. He was so nice to my son. Those are the things that matter to us. You don't have to have $1 million to make someone happy. You know, it's not about the money when it comes down to his happiness. It was just something as little as that made him smile. And ever since then, he's been wanting to do things. It's like, it's amazing. It's amazing. And I'm telling you, parents, if you all want to reach out, inbox me, or go through Anchor, get in touch with me. There's a group that we meet. We can meet online. It's a positive group. Those who are transitioning to adults, you guys, we need to talk, find out things. We can get you into some, at least research, send you to the right places, find out where you're at and where we can send you to get the help that you need, you know, motivate you, keep you going. It's going to be hard, but it can be done. Anything can be done. All right. Well, that's it, folks, for today. Talk with you later. Hope you enjoyed our show. Bye. Know which one it was. That was good, but guess what? That was very good.